There are two questions in biblical counseling. There is the what question, and then there's the how question. They are slightly different questions. You can have just this wonderful content, but could we say that you can have this wonderful content, but you would not be biblical? Because biblical is the content as well as the packaging of the content. It's the way you give the content. My own experience with my students at CCF is that we lag behind in the how question. Okay? We're doing better in the what, the content. Here are things Scripture says. But what does this actually look like when we're speaking to a friend? What does it look like when we're speaking in counseling? It seems to me that this conference is devoted to both of those questions. I mean, as I look through the topics, they seem to be balanced toward both the what and the how. I want to lean toward the how this morning, but one of the key features of biblical counseling is that what and how they go together. You can't just talk about one with the other. You can't talk about what without the beautiful way that it's presented to other people. You can't talk about the how apart from the content itself. The how proceeds from the content. If that makes any sense. You understand what I'm saying. We're going to be focused more on sort of methodological basics. I am choosing them largely because I see this is where I find students have stumbled. My own students at CCF in Westminster have stumbled. And there are places that I think they're methodological directions that are still dear to me. Let's work on some how-tos. I will get to a point about editing ourselves, but I'm not going to get to that first, and that's not the most important thing. Question is how. Okay, so essentially we could title this hour, Do I Edit Myself? And Other Methodological Basics. Okay, and we'll emphasize the other methodological basics. There's a connection between the what and the how. And let's demonstrate that connection with this introduction. Who are you when you minister to another person? Who are you? Notice the way you answer that question, and by the way, Scripture answers it in a number of different ways, but the way you answer that question will have a profound effect on your methodology. I would say that the biblical options for who I am, and I'm not necessarily advertising this, but I would say the one I tend to prefer is friend. And it's friend as it's been spoken about by Jesus in the book of John when he calls the disciples his friends. And the question then is, well, what does it mean to be a friend? And Jesus says, well, a servant never knows the really inner reaches, the purposes of the king's heart. Okay. But a friend knows. Everything that I have received from the Father, I've given to you. Okay? There's a certain generosity and openness in friendship. There's a certain, we're in this together. Okay? So, as a result, you can imagine that when I am thinking friend with someone, I am going to say we time after time after time. We are in this together. Whatever you're talking about in your own life, I can say the same kind of stuff in my life. And probably the visual for what we're doing is we are walking together. Okay? We are walking down this path together, encouraging one another, sharpening one another. Jesus Christ is the one who is with us by his Spirit, and he is our endpoint. That's not the only option you have in Scripture. It's one of many. But can you see how that option is going to affect your methodology? I had some students watching my counseling last semester, and it was actually quite puzzling to them because they felt like I was acting differently than I normally do. And as I reflected on it, they were right. It was because I had an answer to the question different than friend. Okay? I was a parent. Now, it's taken me a long time to sort of figure out that I'm old, and that my students are now the age of my grandchildren almost, let alone my children. But there's this 30-year-old woman that I had an opportunity to see last semester, and God just gave me this unusual affection for her. And it was an affection of a father for a daughter. And you know what? I never said we, okay? I said, you. Okay. I said, okay, here's, she'd been a pill addict for probably 10 of her 30 years. It was more, we got some work to do here, girl. You have lost 10 years of your life when wisdom could have been accumulating, and let's get busy. This is going to be great. And it was very much this sort of Proverbs, you know, the it seems like the picture of Proverbs is not necessarily friends, it's the king speaking to the princes and the princesses. Okay. It's the father speaking to the children. So you understand what I'm saying? Your methodology is going to come out of how you answer the question, who are you as you're speaking to this particular person? Are you a pastor? Well, if you're a pastor, then what does that mean? Give me a visual for what it means to be a pastor. Does it mean that you're a shepherd? Does it mean that you're guiding the person? Well, if you're guiding the person, follow me kind of thing, here's where you're going, you might not be saying we quite as often. Okay, we're not talking about a right or wrong. We're just trying to be self-conscious with how we answer these pivotal questions that have all kinds of methodological implications. Here's a problem, though, and I think it's a very significant problem. My students, and many of you, your instruction in biblical counseling is from a teacher. It's a person who talks for an entire hour. Or worse, there are classes that I have where I teach for 3 hours. I am talking for 3 hours. That is good content, perhaps, but it's wretched methodology. Okay? Because you see, sometimes we, you know, isn't it true that we, you know, as we move forward in life, we just take different pieces of different people and accumulate them and emulate them, and the last thing in the world you want to do is do our methodology. Our methodology is we talk about a principle for an hour. If you ever talk about a principle for an hour in counseling, you need to ask forgiveness. You need to ask forgiveness after 5 minutes. Okay? Now, what's the longest that I've spoken in counseling ministry? If I speak longer than 3 minutes, I inevitably will ask a person's forgiveness. Would you forgive me? I get all excited about these things, and would you forgive me? I'm going to try not to say anything else for the next 15 minutes. Who are you? Are you a teacher when you're meeting with somebody face to face? I would say of the various options, that probably is not the option. A teacher is going to focus on giving information. There's not going to be that back and forth flexibility. Okay? One of the things that I enjoy so much about counseling is I know exactly what I'm going to say. How are you doing? Then it's all up for grabs. After that, it is no longer scripted. All kinds of guidelines in Scripture, but it is not scripted. I do not go in with, here's the 15-minute teaching that I'm going to do. Okay. So I would suggest if you see yourself as a teacher, it will affect your methodology, and your methodology will essentially be you're a preacher to an audience of one. And you have missed the blessing of being able to know a person and bring the Scripture to bear in a unique way to their lives. So anyway, we're talking about how do you do it, but it's sort of what questions? How do you fill up the content of who you are when you're ministering to another person? The other question I think we can consider is, and who is your God? Who is your God? Now, God says many things about himself. It's, you know, there are books and books and books that speak about the character of God. But, rhetorical question, but answer this question. Who is your God when you are ministering to another person? Okay? Who your God is will profoundly affect your methodology. For example, I've been smitten for a number of years now by Exodus chapter 34, where here is our God. Okay? Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. the passage goes on. But as I understand Exodus